And welcome back, folks, to our Tuesday edition of the Hagman Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, January 5th, 2016. That's 2016. If you're writing any checks, make sure it's 2016. My wife had to slap my hand. She slapped my hand. Lovingly, of course. She said, you know, it's 2016, not 2015. Yeah, had to pay the gas bill and all that stuff, you know. So it's 2016. And if it's Tuesdays, it's Tuesdays with Stan. Before we bring him on, I want to mention that, you know, our partners in this radio enterprise, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, what a tremendous company, Christian-owned, veteran-owned company. You cannot get any better than this. And I'm going to tell you, after watching, did you see, ladies and gentlemen, did you see that press conference today or that announcement, whatever that theatrical performance was of the renegade in chief, the renegade in the White House? Did you see that?
And I did not.
Oh.
I know you did.
Well, yeah, I did from various vantage positions, one from a restaurant, one from a,
See, I tried to experiment today. I knew it was coming,
yeah.
So I didn't turn on any media, well, computer, radio, TV.
I couldn't get away from it.
And nothing changed in my life. Actually,
no.
It was better.
Well,
I got more time to read.
Yeah, that's good, but I got to tell you, folks, if you watch that, the bottom line is this. American Survival Wholesale, better be prepping. Better be prepping. Better be prepping. BBP. Okay, better be prepping. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. While you're at it, too, HealthMasters.com. HealthMasters.com. You want to feel good? You want to feel better than you feel today? Go to HealthMasters.com. Take a look at what they have to offer, and of course they've got numerous protocols. Hey, I feel a lot better. I know people like Dave Hodges avoided surgery using HealthMasters.com protocol. That's HealthMasters.com. Now, Tuesday, if it's Tuesday, it's Stan Dale, and here's a guy that we have new listeners because of the number of different things from different platforms. And I just want to say this to the new listeners. If this is your first time, you're in for a treat because Stan Dale,
he's
Stan
been
Dale, Dale
before
Com.
I was born. Born.
That's right. He is the physicist of record, basically, for the Hagman Report. And we all, every Tuesday at third hour, we have him on and we go over just a whole bevy of topics and information. So Stan, welcome, and I hope you had a great new year.
Thank you, guys. Yes, it was a good new year. We I sat up longer than Holly did watching the fireworks around the planet, and that was quite interesting. Before I get into that, though, let me say I almost used half a box of Kleenex tissues watching poor Obama tearfully present his case. I could not believe that. He and Boehner ought to get together and have a party.
Oh, he was weeping?
Oh, yes.
Did anybody see tears?
Tears.
Oh yeah. He turned the camera to me. I turned the camera to be sure that he could see the left eye's tear rolling down his cheek.
Well, he's a better actor than most.
And Stan, I'm not so sure. Did he give us the finger? I mean,
I wondered about that.
I'm just asking, okay? I don't know. I just feel like he gave us the finger. But anyway.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, getting back to New Year's shows. I found an interesting thing. Holly and I have, for a number of years, watched the fireworks for New Year's down in Australia, Sydney, in the harbor there. And they, you know, just by far produce a more spectacular fireworks show than anybody on the planet. Until last year and this year. Actually, last year's in this place I'm going to tell you about was better than this year, but you'll understand why I'm picking on it in a minute. It was in Turkey, over the bridge there at Istanbul over the Bosphorus. And it's Erdogan, you know, one of the candidates for Antichrist type thing we've been looking at, must have been gazillions on fireworks there. It was a huge show. Wow. But it wasn't as well recorded. The vantage point was bad and various other things. But it was a huge, I think it was about a 25-minute fireworks show. Sydney cut theirs back this year to about 8.5 minutes from 12.5, you know, being conservative with the dollars. But Erdogan, you know, they spared no expense, I'm sure. That was a huge expense. It just did not stop. But anyway, maybe he's trying to bring attention to, you know, the magnificent, you know, Erdogan, you know, Messiah figure or Antichrist or whatever. I don't know. But that's something that we should keep in our brain bucket there about the fireworks in Turkey. It was really spectacular.
Absolutely.
Though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting events. Very theatrical to me as I'm watching all of this. Just theatrical. Anyway.
And there's a lot of changing things, new laws being implemented across the country, different laws for different states. And Stan, I wanted to say to you that whether, you know, and your search for the possibilities of the Antichrist, did that start by you purposely looking, or did it start by you recognized a name or in a trait area and then went from there?
Well, actually, it was back in 2014 in about May, June, I think it was. I was going to been asked to do a lecture or a couple lectures for the Prophecy in the News, you know, like Prophecy Conference in Colorado Springs. And one thing led to another. I accidentally, or Lord led me to find where the true location of the Garden of Eden was. Well, in the process, I was looking at old records and old countries, and Solomon's name came up, and I followed that. And that led me to realize that the Revelation 13 mention of the wisdom is here at the number 666, name of a man, might be Solomon. And so I followed that, and then I thought, well, now, okay, Solomon, that's in the Middle East, in the Arab nations, and up into Turkey, of course, as well. That Solomon was a very popular name. And so, as you remember, what, about 3 or 4 months back, we started watching this, or I started watching this fellow, Soleimani, because he had the name Solomon. He was an Iranian general that seemed, you know, like he was, you know, out in front of his troops and couldn't be harmed and, you know, didn't wear a vest in battle. And people, even there, now, today, still say in Iran, you know, that, well, you know, he hung the moon. He's a great leader. But I finally decided to start putting on our Show Images page comparisons of not only him, but two or three other guys that might fill the various prophetic references and scriptural references to the Antichrist, how you can identify him, how we can know when he's revealed. And you know, this week I updated it. I took out one guy, the Secretary of the Navy, Mabas. I took him out and replaced him with Bashar Assad. And this is after, by the way, numerous emails I got after the show was over last week from people saying, hey, here's some more information for you on this one or that one, and have you thought about, you know, in this case, one lady wrote about Bashar Assad, things I had not known, I hadn't even thought to look. And as it turns out, her lead has proven to be exceptional, just exceptional, in fact. You'll see it on the website there on the Show Image page in the middle.
It is. Yep.
Oh, look, I'm still finding stuff to prove what her position was. But I also got letters, emails from people about Prince Charles that they really hadn't done their homework to see, you know, if he fit a number of the, in fact, all of the parameters needed for the Antichrist to be revealed. And I know he's been a favorite of people.
Stan, yeah, the book, The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea, suggests Prince Charles as being the primary candidate. And again, it's called The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. I don't recall the author, but I know that there's quite a bit of machination to fit, you know, that royal lineage into Charles. And then a new theory, and one that I've been looking at as well, as Prince William. Okay, but you are correct in the number of things that you're saying here. So,
and I asked that, Stan, because I think you're onto something. You're definitely looking at it, and you're from a different perspective, using a different biblical understanding. And the reason I said that is to say this, is that we know that the movements of the power elite and their agenda in the physical world will have to coincide with the arrival of the Antichrist in the spiritual and physical sense, correct?
Yep, yep.
And I mean, this push to me, and I've seen people start to do studies or, you know, get revelation from the Lord on what they need to be doing. And your work stuck out to me when I was thinking of people who are looking at things. Most people take the person and try to fit the scriptures around the person. Very popular is our current renegade in chief.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think that's a very wrong approach. But at the same time, as people like you and others are getting closer, as they're expanding the way to look and locate this man before he is revealed, because we know he will be revealed, the elite agenda and their systems and technologies will have to be implemented in a way that, as I said, coincides with his arrival. So it would be an all-accepting, all-encompassing type situation. One cannot arrive, you know, decades before the other.
Well, let's scan that. Understand that. Is that the proper way of approaching the investigative aspect? Because we're researching and investigating as you are. So, with what Joe just said, is that true? Based on your, you know,
that they will coincide, the signs and the current events, I guess.
Well, the technology, signs, and current events combined, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, numbering systems couldn't work until we had computers and big computers, lots of storage and communications and worldwide satellite link-ups and all that kind of stuff, and we have that now. But, you know, I'm still flexible on who the Antichrist is, but after today, my leaning is toward President Bashar al-Assad. For some incredible reasons, which we can discuss in a minute, but
yes.
The importance of sorry,
no, we're just agreeing with you, and that's it's folks. Standale.com show images. Go there. Go ahead, Stan.
Well, the thing is, if we are not making a rather scientific scientific approach to analyzing the clues and applying them to people on the world scene who could potentially be the Antichrist. If we're not doing that, we're liable to miss, and you know, a lot, and not tell a lot of our friends, you know, and they would miss and be fooled by this fellow, whoever he is. So it's important, I think, for us to look and to be aware and keep our eyes open. So doing what I'm doing here is encouraging people to do likewise. Put the clues in the Bible down about the Antichrist, and under each guy, like I've done here, try to figure out which one fills the most of these characteristics or scriptural references. But the really big problem, and one they try to stretch for Prince Charles, is he of the tribe of Dan?
Yes.
The tribe of Dan plays a really important link in the Antichrist ID. Now, the tribe of Dan was a northern tribe after it left its Palestinian, you know, on the coast there where Palestine is now, of Israel, there on the Mediterranean coast. Where they are is where Dan was originally assigned his territory, but he left that and went up into Syria near Damascus. In fact, they have discovered in the last 20, 30 years, archaeologists have, what they call a mound of an old city there called Tel Dan, the city of Dan. And that was in Syria. Now, was it before the exodus of Dan and the ten tribes that went, northern tribes that went all through, you know, the Middle East and perhaps up into Europe? Or was it during the settlement time of Dan? It looked more like it was a settlement rather than, you know, part of the migration due to Assyrian invasions or whatever. However, that city is there now, the Tel Dan. Being excavated in northwest of Syria. Now, that area, Syria, was part of Bashan, where the king of Bashan was Og the giant. In the go Golan Heights region, I think it's there. No, it's up closer to the northern part of it. They have they've found a temple that they've excavated, which was the Tel Al-Qaid, almost like Al-Qaeda, but it's the Temple Al-Qaid. And this temple was built 300 years before Solomon built his temple, but it shares 33 distinct architectural features with Solomon's temple. Now remember, David and Bathsheba named Solomon Solomon, but that was not the name that was given to him, you know, or by the priest. They chose Solomon, which was at that time already a very popular name in the Middle East because of the Arab legends of Suleiman. Now, the Temple of Solomon was actually built, as it says, with 33 common architectural features with this Tel Al-Qaid in Syria. Syria, being ancient Bashan, and when you look at the Al-Qaid temple, there are two large footprints engraved into the floor of this temple, and they're the footprints of a giant. The guy might have been 20 feet tall, but they were engraved. Now, that is where the giants were, and not far from there, just north of there, a few miles, was the mountain where the angels, the fallen ones, were cast down to the earth. And in that area, I think this is down in the Golan Heights, but it's an area where there's concentric circles. There's a thing that they say that was the circle of the Rephaim, you know, the fallen ones, the giants, and that kind of stuff. Really incredible stuff pointing to Syria being part of Assyria. Syria being a land after the time of the giants in Bashan, because it was part of Bashan. And all these things are pointing to that area being very significant in history and in what's about to happen, because if Assad is going to be the Antichrist, here are some things that are very important. Remember in Deuteronomy 33:22, Moses gave his final blessings to the children of Israel. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from
Bashan. Yep.
Now, Bashan, now Assad is not the family name that his father was born with. Their first name, Hafez al-Assad, was the president of Syria. Okay, he changed the family name from the previous one, which was al-Wahash, which means beast or savage in Arabic, to al-Assa, lion in Arabic. So Assad's last name now, the adopted name his father gave the family, is lion. So read this again. Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. His father was the one that changed the name to lion, and he is the whelp, or, you know, the little one of the guy who changed the name. But Dan in Bashan, or, you know, this link to Dan is just incredible. I think that we're looking at Assad being a lead runner in this race for Antichrist.
We had a caller last week who was referencing a sermon from a pastor that we were unfamiliar with, who gave the idea or possibility that Putin and Assad are the two witnesses.
Which I didn't quite understand, actually. But
yeah, it didn't make much sense to me as far as Scripture is concerned, but this, I brought that up to say that that's the second time we've heard Bashar al-Assad being referenced
in terms of an end times character
that's in the Bible.
Yeah, but anyway, wow. Okay,
well, you know that the Antichrist is going to cause people to worship him as God, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I saw a video where Syrian soldiers, you know, under Assad's command, were telling a civilian there in the street, there's no God but Bashar al-Assad, no God but Meir al-Assad. And they further went on to say, we worship Bashar al-Assad before Allah. Now, Assad's allowing this to happen, or caused it to happen, to have him be worshipped as above God, above Jesus Christ, above Allah. Do you see what I'm saying? He set himself already up as God.
And we saw the same with Obama. You know, many people in the entertainment industry, I remember Jamie Foxx at an award show said, I'd like to thank God and our Lord and Savior Barack Obama. They had children singing in school songs about Jesus replacing. I mean, not to take away from what you're saying, but these really disturbing patterns are reemerging in these times and more frequently now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, Stan, you really set this up nice. I like the way you're setting this up, because when we're talking about the identity of the Antichrist, I think we have to consider not just one or two topics. You got to look at the biblical prophecies, the different biblical prophecies. You got to look at the people, whether the Arcadian roots of the, and I'll just say this, the Arcadian roots of the Merovingians, the Spartans, the Celts, in connection to the tribe of Dan because of their use of Dan-related place names, personal names, and specific peculiarities, if you will. You got to look at the locations. Where did the tribe of Dan inherited? I mean, the tribe of Dan inherited, did they not, the a pre-flood paganistic the land of the Canaanites, okay, and where's the, and when you take that to the next step, you're looking at an occupation, the northern area of near Mount Hermon, like you mentioned, which is located, by the way, near the 30 degree parallel meridian. I believe it's from the Paris line, but nonetheless, ancient tribe of Dan there influenced the basis of what we see today as modern Freemasonry. And then you got to look at the symbols of Dan. And this is something I want to ask you about. The symbols of Dan are used as well by, and we talked about this last week, by the Merovingians, the House of Stuart. And this is where a lot of people, I think, try to connect Charles. But the symbols of the tribe of Dan are interesting. In one of the symbols, and correct me if I'm wrong, Stan, because I could be wrong, but I believe it was a unicorn.
I hadn't seen that one. I'd seen three or four others, a sword, a snake, a cross swords, even a lion.
Okay. But, yeah, I could be wrong, but I said that only to say that the unicorn is on the coat of arms of the royal family, and also the unicorn is featured prominently on the cover of the Economist 2016, but I digress. Go ahead, sir. You've got the floor.
That's basically what I was saying is that this is the newest guy on the scene. One of your listeners wrote in about one of the guys that speaks at the conferences, saying that he thought that the Antichrist would be about the same age as Jesus when he starts doing his mischief, but I couldn't find any evidence to support that, and I went to the guy's site. My mind's gone blank. I know who it is, but anyway, I couldn't find it in a hurry. So, if that were the case, then the two old guys who got here wouldn't fit, and the young guy would. But I just don't know that I've seen anything in Scripture that said he'd have to be starting out his dictatorship at about the same age as Jesus. I don't see that. But anyway, there are some links on the show images page that allow you to go to the circle of Og, and that'll show you about the circle there. That's a megalithic monument in the Golan Heights, where there's a U.S. company, of course, drilling for oil at the moment, and
that's interesting.
yeah, and there's more. There's two links there: one to Gilgal, Rephaim, Circle of Og, King of Bashan, about the fallen angels and the Watchers and stuff. So, there's just a lot of things that tell me that although the tribe of Dan migrated up into Syria, northern Syria near Hermon, it also split up. And they believe some of it went down into North Africa, to Ethiopia, and Northeast Africa, and then up into Turkey, through Turkey, up into Europe, and some said by sea in the Mediterranean to the Straits of Gibraltar up into the British Isles and into the, you know, the like the ice countries, you know, the what do you call them, Iceland and Norway,
yeah,
and Denmark, yep, all those. I forget what the group name of it is, but anyway, those groups of countries. And when going through Europe, those that went through Europe named the Danube River and various other places that had the name Dan in them. Maybe, but the reports seem to basically agree that the tribe of Dan, through the migrations due to invasion and being carried off as prisoners or captives, that they went to three different places. They didn't all go together to one site, which makes it more difficult to pin down this Antichrist guy. But as I say, I think at the moment Assad is surprisingly a lead runner. He's a member of the Alawite Shia sect, yep, of Islam. And they, most of the Muslims of the world, the other sects, do not really like the Alawite Islamic sect. They think they're weird and may do strange practices because they celebrate Easter and Christmas, and they use bread and wine in their religious services. So the rest of, the, like the Sunnis, call the Alawites the little Christians.
Yep.
So, if you know, and definitely Assad is an Alawite. His father was, and the family is. And if that is the case, then Assad is one way or another against the God of his fathers. Now, if he's a Muslim, which it appears he is, but a very weird sect of it that is more Christian than Muslim, then he's going against the God of his fathers. Even though it appears, you know, semi-Christian, it is a God, is against the God of his fathers, which is probably Allah in their language. But
as you point out, on your chart, by the way, it's a great chart. Go to standale.com, the show images page. Being born in Damascus, it's hard to get any more Assyrian than that, you know.
Yeah. I mean. Well, you know what? This wound to one of the heads of the beast is a wound to a kingdom and to a king, or both, you know, like both of them could be wounded. But if we look at what has happened in Syria, Syria has been attacked and virtually almost killed as a country because of ISIS and the insurrectionists, you know, going against Assad. Everybody's over there tearing the country apart, including the U.S. Mm-hmm. and Russia. And now China's got troops over there in Iran. And if Syria rises up out of this and regains, you know, nation status again and has control under Assad, then it will be as though the wounded nation has been revived when everybody thought it was dead. And if we look at it now, I mean, let's face it, Syria looks like it's in trouble, like it's dying from just revolution and invasion by, you know, ISIS and, Russia is not invading, but still they're there. Anyway, it's a thought that perhaps it represents the small people, you know, what is left. There's 1/6 of the country left under Assad's control, and that's an interesting. 1/6.
Think about that.
Yeah.
What's your take on, because I've gotten emails from people about this, about Damascus, the current state of Damascus, and the Isaiah 17 prophecy. Have we reached the fulfillment of that prophecy with respect to Damascus, it being a ruinous heap? What's your take on this?
No, I don't think we have. There's every reason to believe that one of two things could happen. An act of warfare would nuke Damascus overnight. An act of God would allow one of the underground volcanic sources there in northern Syria around Damascus to make what is already there around it in other places, what they call ruinous heaps, which they're black rocks that spew up out of a volcano wannabe, but doesn't become a full-blown volcano. And these black hills, you can see them in the Google Earth scans of the area, are, you know, circular, and, well, there's a field of about 40 miles out of Damascus that's a bunch of them forming a kind of irregular shape, but they blow this black, you know, magma-type cooled junk up in chunks, and it becomes a heap. So if that happens to Damascus right in the middle of it, it would be a sudden, you know, kind of eruption bang, and off it comes, throwing all these black rocks and stuff up, you know, the magma, and burying Damascus in a ruinous heap. As I say, that's what they call these things in the local tongue over there. So maybe that's it. Maybe it's an act of God that will hit Damascus. I don't know.
You know, we saw aerial footage from a drone taken the 22nd of December last month, and I know my father saw just a short bit of it in a video we watched, but it seemed every building was torn apart, whether the roof was gone or the sides were gone. There was no cars in the streets. What did it look like to you?
Well, yeah. But I think what Stan is saying is there's going to be a
problem. Is there a difference? I mean, it's a ruinous heap now. I mean, it's a heap.
Yeah, but that did not happen overnight. It says, and it was night.
Right.
And then it was morning.
Exactly.
You know,
that's the question. There's a distinction between how it looks now and the events that will cause it to actually be the ruinous heap the Bible states.
Well, what Stan is saying is it's going to be turn that in a basically overnight.
Okay.
Right? I think that's the way we interpret that, but again, I could be wrong.
Yeah, and this is just us talking, you know, at the table, kind of just ruminating through some of this information. Very interesting, and I'm just really drawn to your show images page on the charts you have there. It's a very interesting. Wow.
Well, yeah. I can't remember where it was, but someone here in the last couple of weeks told me about the rabbis in Jerusalem in the last couple of years have met with the Messiah, and that he's going to reveal himself here soon.
Yep.
And for the life of me, I couldn't find where I got that or heard that. Have you guys heard of that?
It was my understanding that one rabbi had passed away that supposedly met with the Messiah. And I could be conflating a couple of...
He prophesied that the Messiah would come after Ariel Sharon passed away, and he left his son, who's a rabbi, a note of who the Messiah was, and the son didn't believe it because he said it was Jesus Christ. And then there was a separate story. This was more recently where a generational line of rabbis. One was in the 17th century, was one of the, I guess, set the standard for rabbis from that point on with his understanding and studies. And I think that's what you're talking about, which was separate from the Sharon prophecy and the rabbi involved in that.
You know, more than 25 of the leading rabbis of Israel, either there or overseas, but the 25 top, you know, prominent rabbis, have decided together and made a public statement about it that Jesus did not break the law of Moses, and that the accusations that he did not obey the Torah were false, and they found that he was a great teacher, prophet, and he's been brought back in the fold. Now, what this means is that they can now, they've laid the groundwork, these rabbis, that they can now accept Jesus as the Messiah, because the reasons that they couldn't accept him before have been proved false, and by them. And this is just an extraordinary thing. You can see that on the show images page. I've got a link at the very top there, Orthodox Rabbis Bring Jesus Home for Christmas. This is really extraordinary. The stiff necks are softening, you know. We are at the time, at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, you know, maybe this year, maybe next year, but we're at that time where those of us that talk about a pre-tribulation rapture can get excited, because until the man of sin is revealed, or just as he is revealed, the rapture occurs. And sometime around the beginning of the tribulation period, just before, at the time, or just a few minutes after, whatever. So this is why all this stuff is so important to those of us who understand prophecy in that manner.
Okay.
Yeah.
I find it interesting. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but there was an article that came out on the 31st, December 31st, about there was a rabbi. And I thought this made me think of you, Stan, because there was a rabbi in Israel who was explaining the conflict between Russia and Turkey, that being the precursor to their Messiah, okay? And I'm talking about the Jewish Messiah, all right? And I think it was Israeli, what was it? Breaking Israel News was the subject of this, and this rabbi broke down the the relationship between Russia and Turkey, saying that look, this is prophetic, and the reference was to Genesis 49, Genesis 49:1, and I'm just trying to find it here, that will happen at the end of days, and then of course now it's all in Hebrew, so I can't understand, I can't read it, but anyway. The rabbi explained how Turkey's the president of Turkey boasted that his country could occupy Russia in 7 days, and of course I think we talked about that earlier, and that was kind of the basis for this particular article. And I just thought it was interesting because you had mentioned Erdogan before, and how all of this kind of seems to be brewing and percolating over there. So anyway, I just, you know, it's just interesting.
What was that Genesis reference? Genesis 49:1.
Genesis 49:1.
And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you of that which shall befall you in the last days." That's what that.
There you go. Okay, and this was that verse, or that chapter and verse, was at the epicenter of this rabbi, the Jewish rabbi. Rabbi, I think his name is Stern, S H T E R N. And he was talking about how, for example, that he explained that the current conflict between Russia and Turkey is what has been the oral tradition of the teaching, in at least in his lineage, suggests that is at the epicenter of the end of days. Anyway,
well, don't forget that Islam at the moment is expecting the arrival, the imminent arrival of the Mahdi.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. We were reading documents from the United Nations spiritual arm, the Lucius Trust, which went on to explain this coming avatar, or the reappearance of the Christ, as Bailey wrote, that men will have to pray, meditate, and I forget the third aspect, but through these works, they will begin to understand that the coming of the reappearance of the Christ is the coming of a man on earth, and they will bring in the new system, which goes back to what you were talking about earlier, Stan. I wanted to ask you. We see that the Antichrist kingdom cannot have total control in a world as we see it today, with as much as our economies are interconnected and our actions affect others, it's still not a one world total control society.
Yeah.
Would it, and this is just something that I've been tossing around, would it be inconceivable to think that the Antichrist would crush the powers who are in control now, erasing the monetary classes through exposing the evil of the manipulation of money, and evening things out, making it seem like actual peace and safety is here. We were reading Daniel where it says, you know, he will cause craft to prosper, and through peace he will destroy many. And just amongst ourselves, trying to understand how that works. How do you destroy many by peace? And
well, I think you put a period or a question mark right there, yeah. Stan. How does that happen? And I think we addressed this briefly before, but if you want to revisit that, is it a false peace?
Well, now in peace, usually the people at the peace negotiating table have to give up something. Everybody has to give up something, and certainly the Antichrist in the Middle East will unify some Arab nations together into a confederacy. I think it will be those five members of one of the feet in the King Nebuchadnezzar's dream that Daniel interpreted, the five toes, which would be the eastern leg of the Roman mm-hmm. Empire. And there will be five nations from the western side, up in Europe, that will join together to form the world government of 10 nations. But what the geography that's going to be, I'm not sure. But in the negotiations for peace, and to be a member of these legs of the old Roman Empire, a consortium or a confederacy, they're going to have to give up sovereignty. And once they turn their sovereignty over to the Antichrist, is when they're hurt. They will realize that after the fact. So conquering by peace is quite possible. I mean, we see that in negotiations today already. The Antichrist is going to change the law, seek to change the law, and the times. Mm. Now, look at those things in relation to, at this point, either Erdogan or Assad. They're seeking to change the law, and as far as religious holidays and timing, I think it was Erdogan, one of them there, wanted to not even use daylight saving or something. I'm just trying to find it was here, but I think the times means more like the times of the holidays and the religious holidays, but we can find out about that later. Anyway, peace can cause the nations to lose their sovereignty, which then opens them up to control by a central figure, in this case the Antichrist. Now, Club of Rome, in their 1978 report, which I have on page 200 of the Cosmic Conspiracy book, divided the world up into 10 regions, 10 supernations, based with common socioeconomic and ethnicity and economic factors, and agricultural factors as well. There was a huge number of variables in that program they used, but those 10 nations, if they are truly the 10 nations, the 10 toes of what Daniel interpreted for King Nebuchadnezzar, then it's going to go much farther than Europe and the Arab nations. And it will be in a desperate attempt to form a stable world community, both economically and, militarily. They're probably going to try to weaken all that as much as they can into a central military force. But it's a logical progression to go the way the Club of Rome decided a long time ago by computers. And the Antichrist may well use that model, and we may all see a much different world. The United Nations becomes the United Ten Regions of the world. So my book is still open on that. I just don't know whether the ten nations, five of them will be just Arab nations and five will be European nations, the East and West Lake to the Roman Empire. But the Club of Rome does tell you something. The iron legs and the statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in the dream were the east and west legs of the Roman Empire. As a succession mm-hmm. of empires were shown to Nebuchadnezzar. But at the bottom of it, the iron legs are connected to feet that have 10 toes of iron and clay mixed. And as I've said before, it does have an odd saying there that the seed of men shall not mix with, okay, and that indicates something like, an alien culture, living in some of these areas, but not mixing.
Definitely a different species.
Yeah, yeah. So there's still something massive to happen. Is it going to be a global crisis that man can't handle by themselves, and Satan posing as an alien, creator, down and says, all right, now, everybody out of the pool, let's stop this, let's organize this planet the way it should be, and I'll neutralize all nuclear weapons so that won't happen. And we've seen evidence of this in UFO reports over the years, where UFOs would come over some of our nuclear facilities and either turn off or turn on missiles, deactivate them from whatever they used in the spacecraft over the sites and the silos. So it is possible, I assume, to neutralize all the delivery systems for the nuclear weapons using advanced technology. That would impress most of us, and that would certainly put the world at peace that we're not going to have a nuclear war. An EMP strike could happen from one country to another, or an EMP impact from the sun, which would be 100 times worse than an EMP bomb, could hit the planet and throw us into chaos. There's just a number of things that probably need to happen to bring the world to its knees, people to their knees, saying, someone help us, because the catastrophes are so great and, you know, impossible for us to solve. And at that point, then we may see with ease that 10 nations of the world are formed, 10 regions, under one ruler appointed by the alien, you know, imposter, Satan and his minions. I still think that we need to factor that into this, because all the reports of aliens and UFOs are not incorrect. They are real events. So anyway, that's just kind of where I see it, guys.
In Daniel chapter 2, verse 41, this explains what you just were mentioning. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for so much as thou sawest the iron mixed with clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of the clay, so shall the kingdom be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And then after that, it describes Jesus coming back as the stone which crushes the image and sets up an everlasting kingdom.
Yeah, I put that Daniel 2:41 through 2:43 in the latest edition of the Cosmic Conspiracy and translated in great detail those verses. Yep. The thing, like in English, it just says clay, or you know, miry clay and
part of clay. Clay. Yep.
But there are several words used there, and in Daniel 2:41, three words come from Sumerian, Chaldean, Aramaic, and Hebrew, respectively. The Sumerian meaning of pechar is fear or dread, as opposed to potter. So when it says potter's clay, it's talking about the clay of fear. And the Chaldean is kahasaf, is translated just as clay. So it means the clay of fear or dread. Then there's fragile clay, shards of earthenware, in 2:43, Daniel 2-43. Anyway, that you can look up in the book there, The Cosmic Conspiracy, on the page.
Yeah, that's a great book, and it's timely. Great book, timely and timeless.
Absolutely.
Folks, you know, Cosmic Conspiracy by Stan Dale. Go to standale.com.
And you just said something, book. Stan, that made me think of something else I want to throw out there. When we're talking about they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave. We know that in the beginning, the angels mated with women, boring giants, and how that went. Is it possible that this is a different kind? Could a merger between man and machine, a technocalypse, as we see promoted in the media, as we see the push for everlasting life outside of the kingdom of God.
It's interesting.
Just a thought.
I don't know. I'll have to think on that one. That'd require a bit of thought. Yeah. Hey, a minor issue.
What?
Remember in the Garden of Eden discussion where I said the earth was all together and the continents were together when the flood occurred, and a meteor had come in on the other side of the planet and eventually caused the planet to expand to what it is now, which is about 30% more than it used to be, that India had touched Africa and Madagascar had connected to Africa. Well, there is a story, which I've got on the show images page, where they found this great, huge, like 4,000 carat or something, star sapphire. You can see a picture of it there. And in the article, they say the guy that owns it calls it the Star of Adam, because according to origins, the Prophet Adam, and this is Muslim belief, the Prophet Adam came to Sri Lanka where they found this when God banished him from the Garden of Eden. Now, that would have only been possible if Sri Lanka, the tip down the tip of India, had actually been in physical contact with Tanzania, where I found the Garden of Eden. So, just another little clue there that what I have been telling everybody is correct. Garden of Eden was in Tanzania.
Wow. You know, I just happened on this when you mentioned that. Of course, CNN is the source on this, world largest blue star sapphire discovered. And so where, basically what you're saying, where it was discovered, Star of Adam, certainly bolsters and reinforces your research findings of the location of the Garden of Eden. So, wow. Very interesting how that, how this is playing out. Not that you needed additional information, but this is kind of cool. And, yeah, folks, if you haven't gotten the DVD, that's a great DVD, too. I just want to commend you again on that.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It is.
You know, so, all right.
Yeah, they have a peak there in Sri Lanka called Adam's Peak. Mm-hmm. If you go to the news article where I link to that, you'll see there's a hot link over to Adam's Peak in Sri Lanka.
Yep.
And, you know, they have a footprint measuring it's footprint measuring 5.7 inches by 2.6 inches. It's believed to be the footprint of the Prophet Adam.
Yep.
Who was said to be 60 cubits tall. They must have a smaller cubit than... I know, that would be those tiny little... Well, wait a minute. Five feet by 7 inches.
Right, if you follow that link that you're speaking of, it takes you to Islamic landmarks, and it has a picture of Adam's Peak in Sri Lanka, and there's a picture of the alleged footprint of Prophet Adam, and I'm quoting this from the article, peace be upon him. And the footprint, you're right, measuring 5'7" by 2'6". What size shoe would that be, by the way?
I don't know, but he's 60 cubits tall on a standard royal cubit. That'd make him 90 feet tall. Wow.
Boy, imagine having to buy sneakers for him, huh? What a pair of Nikes. All right. Wow.
Well, okay. Back in those days, I think there were dinosaurs on the planet all over the place, and gravity was actually more intense, I think, at that time, and they needed to have bigger muscles to get around. And the giants that we know about, they crossbred with humans and were big. So maybe that's where they borrowed from that legend about giants and thought that, you know, Adam was the one that made the footprint. I don't know.
Very interesting. I mean, it's amazing. You know, most people, Stan, most people just, like, they don't dig down into the articles. And when you... I just find it very interesting how there's so much knowledge here yet to be found, and you're doing a fantastic job drilling down, finding this stuff, man. Wow.
Well, it's kind of what interests me in the week that we do the show, and so I just like to share that with folks and throw it out there.
Amen, brother. Hey, we got about a minute left.
Always informative when you do, Stan, and. Yeah. I think you're onto something, and I think the Lord is pushing people to look harder and pay closer attention to the events happening in the world as they are pertaining and more closely related to those of prophecy.
Amen.
Okay, one last thing. You'll have to look at it quick before space weather changes, but there's a large coronal hole on the sun, Earth-directed, which is issuing a lot of extra solar wind particles at high speed at us, which is probably going to give us a little bit of a G1 class magnetic storm in a couple days. That's the current state of geophysics around us at the moment.
Stan, God bless you. Thank you. We'll keep our eye on it. Until next week, God bless. Stay safe.
God bless you guys. Night-night.
That'll do it for us tonight.
Pastor David Langford and Steve Quill tomorrow.
Good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.